welcome and hello, and I'm Nancy, so let's dive in. Well, today is the day on the church calendar called Pentecost Sunday, and this evening on the Jewish calendar, Shavuot begins. The two calendars don't usually align, but this year is an exception, and although the names sound different, it is the same feast, as we will see. So we will be looking at the Feast of Shavuot. Shavuot is one of the seven feasts of the Lord. So we'll begin by reviewing what we mean by the feasts of the Lord. So on the graphic that you see in front of you, we have the Bible or Jewish calendar that the state of Israel uses today. And on the right, we see the spring feasts, Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. And then moving around the circle clockwise, we see Pentecost, and that's where we are in the yearly calendar. Well, where is Shavuot? It's right there by Pentecost, another name for Pentecost. So, seven facts about the feasts of the Lord. There are seven feasts, and they are the Feast of Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits, which come one right after another in the spring. And then going in chronological order, the next one is the Feast of Weeks, which is Shavuot, or the day of Pentecost. And then in the fall, three feasts come up, which are the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And the feasts are often represented by the menorah because it has seven branches and there are seven feasts. Number two of the seven facts about the feasts of the Lord, they are the feasts of the Lord. Now, some people refer to them as the Jewish feasts or the feasts of Israel, but we don't do that here because in the Bible, God calls them his feasts. And it says in Leviticus 23:1-2, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, these are my feasts. So it says in the Bible, the feasts of the Lord, so that's good enough for us. We call them the feasts of the Lord too. And number three, God gave them to the Jewish people to observe as dress rehearsals at appointed times. In Leviticus, again, the same verses we looked at, but we'll go on to 2 and 4, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts, these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. The interesting thing is the word convocation in the Hebrew, if you were to look at the Hebrew version of this verse, it doesn't say convocation there, of course, because it's in Hebrew, but it says mikra or mikrot, which is a dress rehearsal. It's the same word used today in Israel for dress rehearsal. So just like a dress rehearsal anticipates a real performance, each feast has been fulfilled in history or will be fulfilled in the future. Number four, the timing of the feast is based upon the Bible lunar solar calendar. That's why Passover seems to jump around on our calendar. The feasts belong on this calendar that is both lunar and solar. We have a solar calendar, so it's a little different. That's why. And then we start on the right with the spring feast and go in clockwise order around the circle. Number five of seven, the feasts are commemorative. That is, they have a historical and an agricultural component. Even though God gave them to Moses when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, he intended them to reach their fulfillment in a certain sense, once they got in the land and they could be an agricultural society. And number six, The feasts are also prophetic. They reveal God's plan of salvation through Jesus the Messiah, and that makes them rich in study for us. We can gain a lot of insight through them. And then number seven, they have application to our lives today. Through Jesus the Messiah, God invites mankind to meet with God and receive the blessings revealed in the feasts. And today, we will be looking at number five and number seven as far as it pertains to Shavuot, the history behind Shavuot and how it applies to us today. So there we are, and Shavuot is mentioned there along with Pentecost. So let's go back in time. We're looking at the history behind Shavuot or the Feast of Weeks. So we'll go way back in time to about 1500 BC. Passover marks the liberation of the Jewish people from bondage in Egypt. But deliverance from slavery in Egypt was just the beginning. The children of Israel had things to learn in order to live as God's people. So God led them out of Egypt and into the wilderness. Exodus 13, 17 and 18 said, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines," which was the name of a road, "although that was near. For God said, lest the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt." In the same way, we have been delivered from the Egypt of the world by the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God. And salvation is just the beginning for us too. We also have things to learn in order to live as God's people. Well, the next step for the children of Israel was the Feast of Weeks, in Hebrew called Shavuot. The Feast of Weeks, or Shavuot, is not a party that lasts for weeks, even though it might sound like that. It refers to a gap of weeks that come before the actual feast. So the Feast of Weeks occurs 7 weeks plus 1 day after Passover. So we have Passover, 7 weeks plus 1 day, and then the Feast of Weeks. So about 50 days after the Israelites left Egypt, they reached Mount Sinai. This is again about 1500 BC. They reached Mount Sinai. And the Feast of Weeks, there's Charlton Heston, I mean Moses, with the tablets. So the Feast of Weeks celebrates the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. And the purpose of the law was that it reveals God's character and contains God's plan for his newly redeemed people, showing them how to worship, serve, and obey a holy God. And we need that too. And one of the highlights in the book of Leviticus is, "I am the Lord your God, you must be holy because I am holy." All right, so that happened right on today, Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. Well, let's fast forward now. The Feast of Weeks commemorates when God gave the law, and by extension, the Bible. But the Feast of Weeks also commemorates when God gave the Holy Spirit. And after Jesus rose from the dead, there was that period of time before the Holy Spirit came, just like there was a period of time before the Lord gave the law to Israel. The Feast of Weeks is called by a number of names. This is just three of them, but there's actually more. It can be called the Feast of Weeks, or Shavuot, there it is in Hebrew, or the Day of Pentecost. The term Pentecost comes from the Greek word pronounced Pentecoste, which means 50th. And here is where the reckoning comes from, the book of Leviticus 23, 15 and 16. "And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, that's the Sabbath of the high Sabbath of Passover. From the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days. So 7 weeks of days is 49, and plus one is 50. You knew I'd get a number in here somewhere, I bet. So while Jesus was on earth, he promised in John 14, 16, and 17, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. And he also said in a few verses later in John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And then, again, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says, on one occasion, while he, that's Jesus, was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we know that happened in God's perfect timing, right on the Feast of Shavuot, the same day Jewish people believe the law was given. And it says in Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. On today, the anniversary of today. And just like when the law was given, there was fire on the mountain, the Lord revealed himself in fire on the day of Pentecost. Peter explained it this way, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. So we have the proof that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father on the throne in heaven because they have sent the Holy Spirit. Proof that Jesus is on the throne. And that's good news. Well, what about the application for today? Well, Shavuot commemorates the giving of the law, the Bible, and it also commemorates the giving of the Holy Spirit. And that reminds us that we need both. We need the Word of God and we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God. And so I've selected some scriptures that I'll read now just to remind us of the importance of the Word of God. You could come up with many more than I have, and it's a nice personal study, but I've just selected four. I'm going to kind of read them slowly so they sink into all of us. Matthew 4, 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. Pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them. And healing to their whole body. Tom and I stand on that. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Some verses say refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. From Psalm 19. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Who can forget Amy Grant, huh, singing that song? We also need the Holy Spirit. John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Romans 8:26, we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13. Our verse, that's right. Feast of Shavuot. That's it.
I'm just going to flip around here.
Just a second.
And remain seated. Oftentimes we separate the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and we need both. The Holy Spirit in our lives and the Word. And I thought it would be appropriate in closing this morning. I know that there have been times in my life where the Lord has brought forth or brought like a special scripture to my life at a certain time when I needed it, and it just became alive. That's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what I'd like to do in closing is to have you share. Think of a verse or a passage. You don't have to, if you don't know the exact wording, you know, your own paraphrase is good, where God brought life to a verse at a time when you needed it. You know, because if we have just the Word, and I don't mean that lightly because the Word is extremely important, but if we didn't have the Holy Spirit to bring life to that Word, there would be a tendency to get rigid, to get legalistic, and end up looking at the Word as a bunch of rules and regulations. If we say, you know, I've met people who say, well, I just follow the Holy Spirit. I don't have to go to church. I don't do anything. I don't really even read the Bible because I've got the Holy Spirit in me. And so the Holy Spirit just tells me what to do, and that's what I do. And how many of you have met somebody like that and they're loopy? I mean, really, they do bizarre things, because you have to have the balance of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. The Word is the foundation, and the Holy Spirit brings life to that Word. That's why sometimes when we read the Bible, all of a sudden it's like, boy, I never saw that before. You know, how many times have you read the Bible and it's like, how did that get in there? You know, that the Holy Spirit says, ah, pay attention to this right now. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to share a testimony of how the Holy Spirit brought either a verse or a passage or something. You can go into as much detail as you want. We only have about, you know, 15 minutes left. So don't be doing any preaching, but you know, share as much or as little as you feel like would be an encouragement to one another, because I think I think that's what testimonies are really about, is to encourage each other that, you know, God has done this for me and he can do it for you too. So is there anybody who wants to start? Are you recording this, Tim? Okay, then I want you to come up and speak in the microphone. Well, no, we're going to hand you the microphone. So
family, the church that I grew up in is in Delavan, and it's Christian Reformed Church, and they have a Christian school. And at the end, all of their seniors have a verse that they put up in their gymnasium for their end, and the whole class decides what verse it is for them, and then that's their theme as they go out into the world. It's and this is, I was there when this verse was displayed. It's Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, these are the disciples, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Wow.
That last verse sticks with me. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Because so many times when we're in a pickle, we think, that's it. But then to know that Jesus is with us to the end of the age. So that was a personal part. But then when you stop to think about it, this is what 17 and 18 year olds at this church have decided to do, that they are going to go out and make disciples and believe that Jesus is with them to the end of the age. I thought that was really strong.
Psalm 116 says, for you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. And it's really a good verse.
Okay, from Psalm 23, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And I know Psalm 23 for a lot of people is just heard at funerals, but God really lifed that verse for me. He lifed it when my mom died, and he restored my soul. He kept me with that verse for a year and gave me a song with it that I can sing to him. And I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit who lifes the word.
There have been times in my life where going through great difficulty and being crushed emotionally, and the verse that helped me so much was, we have the mind of Christ. If we have his mind, we are free from our own mind that takes us to dark places that we don't belong, because we are in Christ. Amen.
I'm going to try to talk. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know the rest. That has been amazing for me since I've become a Christian. Because so many times you try figuring it out. At least that's me. I got to have the answer. And God says, no, you don't. You have to trust me.
Psalm 18, I love you, Lord. You are my strength, the rock. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior, and my God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me in my place of safety. I called on the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. The ropes of death entangled me, floods of destruction swept over me, the grave wrapped its ropes around me. Death laid a trap in my path, but in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary and cried to me My cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth quaked and trembled. The foundations of the mountains shook. When you're in something deep, this is where the Lord's at for you. I lived it, so thank you, Jesus.
Isaiah 40:31, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. This really came alive for us when our son was deployed, or I think he was boot camp. I think it was boot camp. We were coming home and just bawling because we were so upset that he was leaving. As we pulled into our driveway, a large eagle swooped down in our backyard, just right in our perfect view, and we've never seen an eagle there before. You know, and right, and then ever since then, ever something happens in our life or whatever, we see eagles, and we always take that as a sign from God.
When I was going through the stuff with Jim, and it's a dedication to the house in Psalm 30, 5 and 6. Sing praise to Adonai, you faithful of his, and give thanks on recalling his holiness. For his anger is momentary, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Tears may linger in the night, but with dawn comes cries of joy. He's with us always, and there's always joy every morning.
Anybody? You know, his word is such that it's never going to fail. You know, one of my favorite verses I was looking at, I didn't like that particular version that it was in, but in Philippians 3, where Paul says, you know, it's not like I have attained yet, but this one thing I do is quit looking in the past. And it's not that we ignore the things of the past, but what God has just shown me is like, press on. Press on. You know, that we can't change the past. We have hurts in our past. We have difficulties in our past. We don't forget that. He's not saying, oh, don't even think about it, because that's not what he means. He means that in spite of anything that has happened, because he talked about his past. He talked about all the things that he went through and all the horrible things. So he's not saying, oh, just ignore those things. But what he's saying is, in spite of those things, we can press forward. We can press on to reach the goal. We can, no matter what, this one thing I do, he said. You know, I forget the things in the past, but I press forward to reach that which God has for me. And that has been a big verse in my life through many different things. And even these 2 weeks, when it's like, you keep saying, well, tomorrow will be better. And it's not. And then you say, well, tomorrow will be better. And it's not. I have all hope, because they say week 3 is better. But, you know, it's like, okay, you just keep, even in those little tiny things, it's not that big of a deal. In the month, this isn't even going to matter. So, but even the big things in life that hurt us, that harm us, to just press on. And let the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word just dwell in each one of us, because there is nothing that the enemy can throw at us that has to defeat us. Nothing. So is there anybody else who wants to share, or I will close? Anyone? Let's then close in prayer and just thank the Lord for his word and the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that we sometimes we think, oh yeah, he died on the cross, that was the end. He said it was finished. But then he rose from the dead. And that was an awesome thing because you showed power over death. But then there was even more. You said, wait, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. That, Lord, we thank you that this whole picture of what you did for us is not completed until we understand the power of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. We cannot do life without you, Lord God. And I pray for anyone who might be struggling today, Lord, that you would be their encourager, that as they read the word, Lord, bring life to it by the power of the Holy Spirit, that your word would sustain, and not just sustain, Lord. Life is not something that we just have to endure. Endurance is part of it, but Lord, you promise us abundant life. And so we look forward, Lord, even in difficult times, to the abundant life that you promise us. And I pray for each person who might be struggling today, Lord God, that we would be reminded to stand on the promises because your promises are true. Bless your people now as we go in Jesus' name. Amen.